Carrick nips in. Carrick, great footwork. He's got Welbeck to the left, Rooney to the right. He's going on his own here, Carrick. Can he go all the way? What a goal! Michael Carrick, absolutely brilliant for the midfielder.
You suppose he's sitting in the middle of the pitch. I maybe have to find him. But he's really bang on form, Michael. He's been terrific the last few weeks. I'm really pleased with him.
Is a shooting chance for Michael Carrick. Left foot in. Oh, what a hit that is from Michael Carrick with his left foot.
Welcome to a very special edition of Red Voices, the official Manchester United podcast. We're coming to you from the team's base in Shanghai, the latest location on United's epic pre-season tour. I'm David Stahl from MUTV, and this week I'm joined by Nick Kopak and Gemma Thompson from ManUnited.com, and of course a very special guest, Michael Carrick. Coming up in today's show, we reflect on how United fared in South Africa on the first leg of the tour, we discuss new signing Shinji Kagawa, and we look ahead to a season that's now just a matter of weeks away. First of all, Michael, welcome to Red Voices. We're sort of 2 weeks almost of the pre-season tour, so how's it all going?
Yeah, it's all right. It's a lot of travelling, so getting used to that a little bit. But for me personally, to have the 290 minutes under my belt is good. It's all about preparation really at this stage and getting yourself right. So trying to look past this week and next week and a little bit further on really. And at the minute, things are going all right.
How far along are you guys in terms of the fitness, and how far away are you from peak fitness?
Still a little bit away, I think. Two games is nothing really. And we had probably a good week's training before we came, which was important. And then I think the most important week for us probably is the week when we get back for the first time in a while. We've got a full week that we can really train and focus on. Getting ourselves right, normally with tours maybe a little bit longer, so when we come back we've been used to going into a community shield and then all of a sudden the season's on top of you, but this year is slightly different, so hopefully it'll help us.
So you've planned that well by not being in the community shield then?
Yeah, still rather be there, mind you. But
what have you taken from the two games that we've played already, Michael? How have they gone?
Yeah, all right, yeah. The heart pounds a little bit tough. But yeah, fine really. It really is about just preparing yourself, and the first couple of games is always tough. The opposition we play, they're fit obviously as well, and which shows, later in the game and the lads are getting a bit tired and stuff. But just trying to do the right things really and trying to play at a decent tempo and play the way we know or in the style we want to play, and it's not always as sharp as you'd like because that's just the stage we're at, but hopefully as game by game goes on then we'd improve and be ready for kick-off.
I bet it was just nice to be back, wasn't it, playing after a long summer?
Yeah, it was a long summer actually, 6-7 weeks I had, which was as long as I've ever had, so it was nice. It was to get away from it and shut down for a few weeks and then gradually get back into the gym and start ticking over, preparing ourselves for coming back, and just to freshen the mind up, I think, to start again and go again. It doesn't matter if we've won the league or lost the league, every time we come back for pre-season, there's a new focus and we've got to start from scratch again, and that's definitely the way we're going about things this time.
Michael, it's hot and very humid here. I mean, when we're watching you guys train from the side of the pitch, we're sweating. I can't imagine, what's it like being out there here in China?
It was tough. Yesterday was a tough one. It's funny because the session probably that we had, if we'd done that back home, it would be pretty much a standard, maybe easy day. So I think if you were watching, you could see some of the boys were struggling quite a bit. And obviously it was our first day, we had just got off the plane the night before. And it was a long old flight, wasn't it, that 15 hours. So,
what was it like, even though, I guess you've never done that before, had a 16 hour flight and then trained at midnight?
It was a bit odd, yeah, it was a bit weird, It was a bit sort of eerie, a bit freaky, driving through the streets and no one's about, and then we getting off and doing a bit of training. It was slightly strange, but not feeling great either after that flight. And then obviously playing the game, but just before we got on the flight, 90 minutes, so
I wasn't feeling too fresh after that.
Well, that's the funny thing about being here, isn't it, is that we're in Shanghai, but we're not on Shanghai time necessarily, because you're staying a couple of hours ahead of home, aren't you? It's a way of sort of beating the jet lag.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's what the doc and the sports scientist guys have devised, really, and it's not so much for dealing with this time now, it's more for when we get back next week, so it doesn't take us much time to get back into the English time, and then, as I was saying about that week we've got when we're training next week, it's geared up for that, really, so we can really have a good week of training and no one's really struggling to get back into the swing of things. And whether it works like that, we'll see. In a minute, there's a few tired bodies around, so we'll see how we cope.
We've all joked that you guys have sort of created this new time zone. You know, there's obviously English time and there's Shanghai time, and it seems to be Manchester United time now as well, Fergie time.
Just somewhere in between, isn't it? Yeah. It's strange. I was talking to my wife before we left, when we left South Africa to come here. And it took me about 5 minutes to work out what time it was going to be when we landed. And in the end, I just said, oh, you know what, I'll just ring you when we land. I didn't even know what time we were on. So it's a bit of a daze, to be honest. You know, you get all these times thrown at you and you're trying to focus on one thing. And then when we got you, you're trying to go to sleep, which you think is sort of, I don't know, midnight. And then you look at the curtains and the sun's coming up and it messes with your head a little bit. So it's not easy.
Obviously, Michael, the big thing when we're in Asia is the fans and the reception we get. Is it just as big as ever? As you know, great to see for you guys. Obviously.
Yeah, do you know, it's just the enthusiasm of wherever we go. You know, we're just getting off the coach in the hotel and walking into the hotel. The noise, the just, as I said, the enthusiasm and energy of the fans is incredible. And you know, we've got an open training session tonight, and I'm sure that'll be quite lively, and then obviously a game tomorrow. So it's great for us to see. You know, in some ways you live in that little bubble, you know, and we're just used to doing what we do week in, week out, and focusing on that. But then you come here, you come to South Africa, and you realise it's just, you know, it's massive, and it's hard to really get your head around how big the club is and how the players are appreciated.
One player who's obviously very big out here, Shinji Kagawa, our new signing. How's he settling in, and how's he doing?
Great, yeah, really good. You know, he's making a big effort to learn English. He speaks little bits anyway, and you can sort of get by. And really nice guy, and he's talented. You know, that's why he's here. And seeing the other night, there's good glimpses of what's to come. And in training, he's been fantastic. So you know, I think it's the effort he's making to come into the squad and be part of things and fit in is really respected from the boys, and we appreciate the efforts, because it's a whole new thing for him. So it's really appreciated, you know, by us with what he's gone through.
How do you think he's different to the midfielders we already have here?
You know, he plays in a different style, really. He's both foot, right, left foot, turns off either foot. His first touch is terrific, and he's clever in little spaces, just, you know, between midfield and the striker. He really finds good positions and keeps the game simple. He's not one that, well, not yet anyway, that someone's he's going to do, you know, all sorts of different skills. And but he's so effective, just his little movements. And you know, we've talked about already, you know, a few of the boys are saying how good he is to play with, and how quite easy he is to play with, because he keeps the game so simple but yet so effective.
It's interesting, you've played with a variety of midfield players in your career, not just at United, but, you know, your whole football career. But there's a lot of talk in the last few years about players having to be a certain size maybe to make the grade, and yet now we're seeing the likes of Messi doing what he's doing, and he's still relatively slight. And Shinji, obviously, he's not the biggest of guys, is he? But he's obviously talented. So are we seeing a sort of change in that
idea? Yeah, I think it's, you know, things like this, you know, it comes and goes a little bit. And you have sort of a trend where, take for example, the Arsenal team, you know, they've got Vieira and Petit, two big guys, quite physical, obviously talented. But, and then, you know, as time goes on, you've got, you know, the Spanish team, but Barcelona team's probably changed that way of thinking in a way, and you've got players like Silva at City and Nasri, and and then obviously Shinji, and you know, we've got a few small players ourselves, but it's just trends in some ways, and how the game sort of moves on, and you know, it's hard to be really physical now and aggressive and tackling, and you know, it's more in the head really of and I think that's shown the way Barcelona and the way Spain playing, and I think the way we're starting to play really.
Do you think that's also changed because, as you mentioned, the fact that you perhaps can't be so physical, so the refereeing aspect has perhaps influenced the way football's developed?
I think that's a big part of it, yeah, because you know, maybe a few years ago small players used to get kicked out of the game in a lot of ways because understandably so, if the pitches are smaller and players are bigger, then there's less room to manoeuvre, and now referees are sort of well, they have been clamping down right on that sort of thing, so it does give the opportunity for the more technical players to come through.
Did you know an awful lot about Shinji when he signed? I think Rio said he went on YouTube almost straight away. I mean, he'd seen bits of him playing for Dortmund, a few highlights, but...
Yes, bits of him, but, you know, literally just a few bits of him. So I'd heard about him and you know, hear people around the club talking about him, but not, I hadn't really seen for myself. But he's going to be a top player.
And what have you had to say to Nick Powell? I'm sure he's already said to us that he's looking to you and Scholesy particularly for, you know, learning from two of the best.
Yeah, well, Nick's, you know, there's another one in terms of Shinji saying how, you know, how, what a big change it is for him, and for Nick as well, is a massive change. And I know he's obviously English and he doesn't live too far away. He's, you know, he's just from down the road, but it's a huge change for him. And I think coming on the tour like this straight away gives you the feeling of where you're at now and the size of the club and the expectations and the standards that have been set, and not just on the pitch, but you know, the whole package of training and off the pitch and doing commercial and sponsor activities and all that type of thing is something obviously that you wouldn't have been used to. So there's a lot more responsibility, and I'm sure you go into that. He's trained really well. He's fitted in again, like Shinji, just like he's been here all the time, so that's great credit to him for such a young lad.
Imagine Crewe Alexandra pre-season wasn't quite the same as this one. What do you remember about your first pre-season as a pro? Were you at West Ham then?
Yeah, up the forest, running around the forest. First day, yeah, we used to 3 12-minute runs up the forest. It was a sort of, whether it was tradition or what, it was just, that's what it was, and a lot different now, I tell you.
A bit more scientific.
A little bit, yeah. We never used to travel. We used to just literally play the local teams, you know, like it was like Southend, Leighton Orient, and even the non-league teams. That was pretty much a pre-season.
You spoke just briefly before about the conditions here and how hot and how humid it is. Obviously, it is difficult, but there is a benefit to it, isn't there? I mean, if you can do it here, surely then it becomes a bit easier when you get back to the UK. It's like when you people go and do altitude training, I imagine.
Yeah, it is. It's obviously when you're out here doing it, it's pretty tough. But going back, if you do get the minutes under your belt playing the games, then it does tend to help you going back. And it's a sort of that after training effect really that benefits you, you know, in a week or two leading up to the season. Yeah, definitely.
I know we don't want to talk about the end of last season too much because it was very bizarre the way it happened, but also quite sort of painful as well. But does that make you a stronger outfit this season because of not just the fact that you didn't win the title, but the fact that it was basically snatched away so cruelly right at the end?
Yeah, I don't think it sort of drives you on even more because, as I said before, whether we've won the league or not, every time we've come back for pre-season, there's a new focus, you know, and there's a new, you know, the togetherness is there straight away, and the spirit's there, and there's a new drive to achieve again. I noticed that from, you know, I was lucky enough to win the league the first season, and then straight away the next season, you know, I noticed that, whether it's from the manager or through the players or just the feeling you get is you just got to achieve it again and start all over again. So it's no different, obviously. You know, it was a bizarre ending last season, and there's no getting away from that. But in terms of how we're preparing now, it's pretty much the same as I've prepared for every season, and start again and work my way up the league.
I imagine some players in our team may actually be hungry. I know you're hungry all the time, but someone like Danny Welbeck and Tom Cleverley, who haven't won the league before and was so close, and for a few weeks the people were talking as if United had won it almost. So then to not win it, you know, those guys, that getting that first one is huge, isn't it? That first medal.
Oh, it's huge. I'm not taking away. Listen, it was devastating. I'm not saying it was easy to deal with, but obviously the first one is massive, and maybe because I was lucky enough for my first season here to do it, then maybe think things a little bit differently. But for them boys, they'll be desperate to get their hands on one. I'm just as desperate now as I was when I started, and even more probably in the strength, because you know how it feels when you do win something. So it drives you on even more. And
footballers are a greedy bunch when it comes to trophies and winning.
So greedy, yeah. And before I'd won one here, I would have, if someone had offered me one, I would have said, yeah, I'd take that, great, because not many people get to win it. But once you've won it and you sample it, then you do want a whole lot more. And now I can understand how Giggsy and Scholesy and Nev went through all them years of keep driving on, and Giggsy and Scholesy are still going, and I can fully appreciate that.
Do you think of the Premier League trophy as your trophy, and it's like ours to win back because United have had it so much?
In some ways, yeah. I think it's wrong of us to assume that. I think it's wrong of us to assume that, but I think when you've had your hands on it, like for me over recent years, I think 4 out of 6, so it does feel like we want it back, and it is, but there's other teams challenging, so we respect that. At the moment, it's not ours, and we want to get it back.
Is there a real determination to put things right in Europe this season as well? Is that sort of niggled a bit from last year?
Yeah, that was, considering the form over recent times, over the last 4, 5, 6 years, we've been right up there with probably the best and consistent as much as Barcelona, really. And
was it a blip?
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock, really, for whatever reason, whether we took our eye off the ball, we just didn't perform in the right games, and conceded goals at bad times, and there's a number of different things really that went wrong, and that's something that we really need to put right. And we've got everything's in place to put it right, but it just shows you how tough Europe is. If you're slightly off the ball, then you're not going to be successful. So we've shown that we can do it before. We just repeat that again.
Of course, you didn't play when we went out in Basel, so that must have been the reason.
It was hard work, that, watching that. I was at home. I was suspended when I saw it. That wasn't pleasant watching that at all.
One person who isn't here with us now, because he's not with us anymore, is Ji-Sung Park, of course. Great servant to the club, someone who always seemed, when we saw him at least, to have a smile on his face and be willing to come over and talk to us and give us some good lines and things. What was he like to play with, and how much are you perhaps going to miss him as a team?
Yeah, I miss him. Yeah, I loved Ji. I thought he was, his attitude and his approach to the game was spot on. He was never fussed. Nothing was ever too much for him. And to play with, he was a dream. He was one of them players that was appreciated probably more by the players that he's played with more than everyone else. Because the work that he put in and the things he'd do things for the team rather than for himself, and top player.
We've got a little section here now, Michael, on your sort of greatest bits. So it's sort of just a few questions to ask you about various parts of your career. Jem, do you want to start?
I thought you were going to say part of the body there, aren't you?
Michael, probably a difficult one this, but greatest match you've played in?
Champions League final in Moscow, without doubt.
Tell us, what's your overriding memory of that night? Is there a specific moment?
Yeah, just obviously me taking the penalty was something that'll stick with me. That was, the emotions of that is just hard to explain, really. The pressure and feeling, the anticipation of that was was just huge. And then Edwin saving the penalty. I remember that for about a minute, you know, obviously just going crazy for sprinting down, jumping all over Edwin. And then after about a minute after that, I just hit a brick wall, and I just have about 30 seconds just standing still because I was just going to collapse. I was just absolutely shattered, and going for so high, you know, just that shooting buzz. It just all just hit me, and then obviously it was just the best night I've ever had in football.
Incredible to think that taking a penalty sounds like the most simple thing in the world, but under those conditions, to win something that's so huge, I mean, it must have been a real horrible sick feeling.
Yeah, it's not, you know, that, I think I was second, so I didn't have long to wait, which was probably a good thing, really. I don't think you can prepare yourself for that, you know. Once going through it, I was just trying to tell myself, look, you've done this so many times in training, and just keep believing that he was going to dive the wrong way, really. Thankfully he did, and that was it. But, you know, I think you just, so much to gain and yet so much to lose. You're on a knife edge, really.
Next one, Michael. Greatest footballer you've played with and against?
I'd say Cristiano, probably. Played with and against. One of Messi, Iniesta or Xavi, I'll have to say. One of them three. I couldn't pick between them, really, because they're all just as good as each other, but slightly different way.
It must be quite daunting when you see those names on a... Especially when you've got all three that you've just mentioned on the same team
in the middle of all of it.
That's the problem.
And the others around them aren't bad either, are they?
I know, yeah. Yeah, obviously incredible players, and they've grown up together, so, you know, it's just ingrained, really, how they play the game. And, you know, probably their team of maybe a year or two ago was probably as good as I've ever seen, and most people have ever seen, really, so that shows how good they are.
And Cristiano seemed the complete player. He could do everything, couldn't he? And fantastic in the air. Obviously, he could shoot, he can dribble.
Penalties, free kicks.
Yeah, literally, that's, you know, people say between, you know, Cristiano and Messi, but it's hard to discount Cristiano because, like you say, he can do everything, left foot, right foot. He's got the build. He's proved in our league, and he's proved in the Spanish league as well. You know, that's two different styles. And what done it for me was how, you know, some games playing away at certain grounds and you get kicked and you get tackled and you get this and that, and you just bounce up and keep going and keep going. And that says a lot about, you know, how good he was and how mentally strong he was, really.
Is there anything he's terrible at?
Couldn't see it, could I? Not on the football pitch, anyway.
We'll leave that one there. The last one, really. The greatest team talk that you've had from Sir Alex?
No, one that sticks. It wasn't so much a team talk, really. It was a half-time. My first season, and we were playing Bolton away, and I think we were 2 or 3 nil up at half-time. And literally, we played some great, great football, and I remember coming off the pitch at half time, and the boys were looking at each other. I go, where'd that come? That was decent. Where did that come from? You know, we're flying type thing. And we got in the changing room, and the boss just went crazy, just went absolutely mad. And, you know, for where I'd come from, if you're 2-0 up at half time away, you know, you're dancing in the changing room. And he wasn't happy with the last 5 minutes of the first half. He said we took a foot off the pedal, and he just went crazy. And you know, I think we won the game 4-5-0 in the end, but that little sort of snippet there just told me that the standards and the expectations of this club and the manager, and maybe that's the difference between this club and the rest, you know.
Well, it's been great to talk to you, Michael. Thanks very much for taking the time out to talk to us. That's just about all from us this week. Hope you've enjoyed this special edition of Red Voices. Thanks to Gemma and Nick from the website, and of course Michael as well. You can always email us at red.voices@manunited.co.uk. red.voices@manunited.co.uk. Let us know what you think of the podcast, and of course you can submit your questions for future podcasts as well. I've been MUTV's David Stout. Thank you for listening. We'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.